expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice fills the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill.
Good morning, Jefferson. How y'all doing out there? Well, another fine Sunday morning, huh, my friend?
It is.
So I'm here with Wynn Carpenter. This is Terry Raposa. And we're here this morning to talk about all things Jefferson and all things about liberty. And Ashley here, our producer. How are you doing, Ashley?
Doing all right. How are you?
Doing good. So, Winster, what you got for us, buddy?
Absolutely nothing.
Now, this is the one program that stresses honesty. Okay, that's what we stress here, is honesty and forthrightness.
Still nothing.
Okay, well, I'm going to, tomorrow night at 2570 Bonneview Road, there is a church right there. That's where we have our meetings at that church.
It doesn't have a name, does it?
Yeah.
That's here in Reading.
Yes, right here in Reading, 2570 South Bonneview Road. Uh-huh. And tomorrow night, we will have our Jefferson meeting at 5:30. Then at 6 o'clock, we're going to show some really neat clips about what's going on with the sanctuary state. We're going to be talking about all things sanctuary state and, you know, really and truly, folks, the idea of illegal immigrants being able to come in and vote, come in and get driver's licenses, come in and get medical, dental, come in, and of course, all the horrible stories about our president, you know. The little girl standing crying because she separated from her parents. I mean, there's just so much baloney going on. It's
that wasn't photoshopped, was it?
Oh, no, not at all. And so we'll be talking about that tomorrow night. And I don't want to get much further down the road here before I bring on Mark Whitehead. He's been hanging on here, and Mark's from Calaveras County, and Mark is going to tell us what happened at the fundraiser that they had on Thursday night, June 14th, which happened to be the same day we were in court, wasn't it, my friend?
How are you guys doing today?
Good.
How about you?
And, another beautiful day in Jefferson.
Yes, it is.
But hot. Yeah, we had a fundraiser June 14th, as you mentioned. It was at Dodassa Ranch in Burson, California. The owner of Dodassa Ranch is a friend of Brett Murphy, one of our chairmen. And he approached Brett. We had been having town halls from time to time in the county, and we just decided it was time for a fun day. Instead of just a town hall, have a fun day. So it was family, excuse me, it was family oriented, and we had a tri-tip dinner with live music provided by the Brian Keith Band. Country and Western music, prizes. The food was fantastic. John and Jen, part of our committee, did the tri-tip smoke on site, and it was absolutely great. We had a drawing for a Glock 26 handgun, and sold tickets throughout the county, and here's a shout out to all our supporter businesses here in Calaveras County for selling tickets for us. And so for a small Thursday night crowd of approximately 100 patriots, we took in about $9,000
wow.
In gross receipts. So that's not bad for 115 people present. Had 86 paid guests show, and drew helpers in from far away as Mariposa County, and I believe Stanislaus also had some helpers show up to help us. And so we'll be sending in a net contribution to the legal fund of about $8,000.
Wow.
You guys rock. That's awesome.
Fantastic. I know that Karen and Ray Breeze came in from Mariposa. They came to the courthouse first, and then they drove over there and talking about shout-outs. I mean, Karen and Ray out there in Mariposa, we love you guys. You're patriots.
They made a big loop out of it that day, didn't they?
They did make a big loop out of it.
They did.
And we'll be going down there for a town hall win on the 28th.
That's right.
Which will be great. And maybe we should go to Yosemite the next day.
That'll be all right. I can do that.
Good.
Road trip. Like a plan.
Road trip. We do those a lot.
Well, Mark, it sounds like you had a great event there. Calaveras folks are just amazing. And so with that, my good friend, we're going to let you go. We've got Mark Baird who will be calling in here shortly.
All right. Sounds good.
So thanks a lot for calling, and time has come for 51, huh, buddy?
Amen.
Thank you. By the way, you can tell Mark is a very soft-spoken, very well-spoken man, and so we nicknamed him appropriately Mad Dog.
Thanks again, Mark. You guys are awesome.
Yeah, he's great.
All right. Before we get off to the other Mark, we have our conference call. It's a second and fourth Sundays of the month. And so today's call is at 7 p.m., and the phone number is 712-770-4114, and the access code is 307-268-pound or hashtag. And you can access this information off of the SOJ51.org website. You can go in and check out, you know, the messengers. Click on one of the messengers. Excuse me. The messengers typically have this information on there, and that's exactly where I'm reading it from. So SOJ51.org. And again, the phone number is 712-770-4114, and the access code is 307-268-pound or hashtag. And if it's first time for you to call into it, you won't be able to speak. You'll be able to hear. And then you can also go to the chat room on the website. You can go to the events and calendars and click on today's date on the calendar, and it'll say conference call, and you click on that, and then it click on the chat room. You get signed up in there. You can see what people are writing on the chat room electronically, and you can ask your questions through that if you'd like. So there are two ways of doing it, and you could be on your phone call hearing the call, or be on your phone hearing the call, and be on the computer reading the chat room simultaneously. Works out pretty well. There you go.
Sounds great. Also, when we talk about shout-outs, there are some businesses that really have been supportive of Jefferson. A lot of people ask, you know, where can I get Jefferson gear? Where can I get a license plate frame, a hat? Where can I get a koozie? Where can I get a bumper sticker? Where can I get a shirt? And I want to tell you right here in Shasta County, the Ace Hardwares, if you're out there in Anderson, Ace Hardware at 1900 Marks Way in Anderson, go out there. They've got all your Jefferson swag, Ace Hardware on Eureka Way. They've got all your swag, and Ace Hardware in Shasta Lake City at 3020 Cascade Boulevard has all your swag. Also, Century Market, want to give a shout-out to them out in Shasta Lake City. If you go in there and you're shopping for groceries, you can pick up a shirt or a hoodie or something that says Jefferson. And, you know, that's the thing, folks. We need to get out there and support this, not only support the position of Jefferson, but support the court case. And, Wynn, you've got some information on that as far as where people should donate to.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you can go to our PayPal account online or our GoFundMe account online. So you can GoFundMe State of Jefferson and PayPal State of Jefferson as well, and you can pay that way. You can set it up to do a one-time deal, or you can do it monthly or however often you'd like to. And then also you can send your donation to our P.O. Box, which is at P.O. Box 751 Palo Cedro, P-A-L-O-C-E-D-R-O, 96073. And we take all kinds of donations. So we're waiting, ready and waiting.
So we'll eventually be talking about the court case here, but one thing I want to talk about is the press. And maybe somebody can call in and comment on this, because I've got a question to ask everybody and see if they kind of what they think of this. When we went to the courthouse on Thursday, we had 58 people in the courtroom during the proceeding. Actually, we had 60 because the two chairs where the bailiffs sit, they gave to people to sit in. So there were 60. There were 9 plaintiffs. So that's 69 people inside, about another 40 or 50 outside in the hallway, and probably another 60, 70 outside with flags and signs. Now, before we went into court, which was, what was it, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, when?
2:30.
2:30 in the afternoon. There was at least 250 people with flags, signs. We had banners stretching across the sidewalk. And the odd thing about that, we didn't have one reporter. Not one reporter. Not one news source in there. Now, here's the crazy part. That was June 14th on Thursday. On Wednesday, June 13th, Mark Baird himself fielded 4 phone calls from 4 outlets, ABC affiliates, CBS affiliates, NBC affiliates, etc. He did 2 radio shows in these reporters calling and asking him what the position of the people of Jefferson. Notice they call us the people of Jefferson. They don't say the people up there or, you know, what's that group doing? The people of Jefferson think about the 3-way split that Tim Draper has put forth and the initiative that's going out for that. Now, that seems a little odd to me. I fielded 3 phone calls from affiliates and did 1 interview. So that's 7 that we know of. And I know there's more of you out there in different counties that got phone calls. I know there's more of you out there that had people inquire what the folks of Jefferson thought about the initiative for the 3-way split. Now, how is it on the 13th? You can't even, your phone lines are completely jammed up with the press, and on Thursday, not one single person from the press, not one. Maybe somebody's got an answer for that one, because to me, is that by design? Is that something that we look at and we say, must be a coincidence? I don't think so.
I think it's because we are the only legitimate movement that's moving forward. We're doing it the right way, the proper way. We have been from day one, and we're going through the process the way we need to. It is slow going, but we are going through that process, whereas all the other processes, they're fly by night. You don't hear about them. Nothing's going on. They're not actively doing what they need to do. They all have to follow the same process that we are 4 years ahead of them on. So if you think about that, you know, that's where it's at. But people are, you know, embracing or attaching themselves to those other movements, whoever they are, and not ours, only because they see it as a viable way to do it. But it's not. They're going to have to follow the same process that we do. And we know that. And they know we know that.
Yeah, but that doesn't answer the question on the press. What I'm talking about is I'm talking about the press
itself. But they're owned by some of those folks that are doing
that. That's what
and
saying.
It's
okay.
All part of the same incestual pool that they all belong to.
Gotcha.
So, and we're not part of that pool.
Gotcha.
Which
okay.
On one hand is a great thing. On the other hand, not so much. But guess what? When we become a free and sovereign state, they're going to be coming after us left and right.
You got it, buddy. Okay, Matt, you there, bud? What you got?
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to that. There's a reason why the media isn't covering Jefferson. I don't know how else to say this, so I'm just going to say it. When you're trying to collapse the system and provoke revolution, you don't want the solution the people want. You want the predetermined solution that is going to benefit the power structure, which is why this 3-state split gets plenty of media coverage, and we get nothing, because they don't want the people awake to the message of Jefferson, of liberty. They want to maintain the power structure, and they can't do that if there's an alternative out there to what they're shoving.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Well put. Well put.
Very
you know,
good.
It's funny, though. Again, you know, all the phone calls and everything else, we did get press out of it. I mean, we got interviews out of it. The thing is that they were asking what we, the people of Jefferson, and that's another thing, too. Sally made the suggestion, and we've been doing that, to put, instead of putting CA for California, put a JF in your zip code. Because, you know, and we've been doing that. You know, it's just crazy because here we have a situation where they recognize that they're almost recognizing us like we already exist. Maybe that's because in our hearts and minds we do.
Well, a lot of people that are sending their donations in, they do that. When they address, they have the return address, and even they have the mailing address, they put Jefferson on there.
Wow.
They don't put California because the zip code is what drives where the parcel goes. So that's how they handle it. See it all the time.
Well, they can't handle the common identity of Jefferson as a message. You know, they can give us press coverage as to what we think of other stuff, but they're not interested in what we're trying to
do. Good point.
Move it forward.
Good point.
Have a good day, gentlemen.
All right, thanks, Matt.
You're right, Matt.
Very good points.
And he's right. He's right.
Yes,
on that.
Plus, he's spot on.
Plus, which they don't understand it because they haven't taken the time to learn it. And that's the big thing. They don't want to show their ignorance when somebody may ask them a question. You know, because we're not afraid. Most all of our followers, if they get asked a question, sometimes we'll throw a question back at them, depending on what the question they throw at us. And they're not used to that. They just want people to be totally, you know, enamored with them and just answer a question and move on. No, we don't do that because we've learned the hard way. We've learned that, you know, that's not always how it works. So,
well, with that, we have Mark Baird on the line. Kemosabe.
Good morning, Mark. How are you doing?
Hey, guys. How's it going this morning?
So far, so good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's the gift that just keeps on giving, isn't it?
That's right.
Man.
Yeah. Well, what are we into this morning here? The court case or
a little bit of everything? Pick your poison.
Okay, sorry, I've been down in the pasture there taking care of gates and doing things, so I haven't been able to listen so far. But let's just start with the court case. Everyone knows that we were in court finally on the 14th, and you know, the procedural anomalies in that whole thing are absolutely mind-bending, but it mm-hmm. is indicative of a lack of representation. There's no oversight over the judicial. We've abdicated all responsibility from the people's branch of government, and no one is minding the store to make these people do their jobs or make them do them correctly or even to find justice. In fact, the judge in the Moonlight Fire case said it is the job of the government to find justice, not just to win. And by the way, Judge Mueller was the one that overturned the Moonlight decision and threw Sierra Pacific and the whole thing into the Ninth Circuit,
Wow. Where
the Ninth Circuit, even though now here's judicial misconduct for you. The Ninth Circuit found that even though Sierra Pacific was not responsible for the Moonlight fire, that there was so much lying going on by the government, it was unbelievable. They still had to pay the settlement because they'd already agreed to it.
Oh, man.
Well, that's a lesson. That's a lesson, folks. Whenever you agree with the government, whenever you sign a paper with the government, you are agreeing to the terms, even if those terms involve giving up your liberty, your property rights, your Second Amendment rights, no matter what they are. If you voluntarily sign a paper, you are telling the government that whatever is within that paper is okay with you. Well, that's a really good point to remember.
Wow.
Wow.
And particularly in light of your Second Amendment or your property rights for you ranchers, water rights, property rights, right of passage for government agencies onto your property. And remember, government agents are mandatory reporters. Anytime they see anything that they consider a violation, they are bound by their agency to report that violation, even if they're on your property for an entirely different purpose. That's the state of California. That's the state of government that we've allowed ourselves to come into. And look, I'm just going to say this again and again and again because I say it every time. This is our own fault. But here's the good news. We're the only ones that can fix it, and we're trying to. So the court case on the 14th, there's so much procedural misconduct here, it's kind of hard to categorize. So let's just go back real quick and recap. First, the judge gets our motions, and that was over a year ago. Then the judge reads our motions and decides, yep, this is a representation, a voter dilution, an apportionment case that falls under Shapiro versus McManus, which is a directive from the Supreme Court that there is a very low bar for standing in voter dilution and lack of representation cases, a very low bar. Here's the bar. If the case is frivolous and without merit, the judge may dismiss the case with prejudice, and that's the end of it, and away you go. Okay, but if the case has merit, the judge has only one recourse according to the Supreme Court's directive to federal courts. This wasn't a request. This was a directive, and that is to ask the chief magistrate to appoint two more judges. The only thing the chief magistrate of the Ninth Circuit Court has to do, he doesn't get to say yes or no to this. When a trial judge asks for two other judges, the only part that the Ninth Circuit has to play is naming the two judges. That's it. It's strictly administrative. They don't get to weigh in on the deal. Now, United States Code, Title 28, Section 2284, also directs a trial judge in cases of apportionment, lack of representation, and voter dilution of any federal election or any state election, state legislatures, to construct a three-judge panel. That's what trial judges in the federal court were directed by Congress through Title 28, United States Code, Section 2284. Trial judges were directed by the people's branch of government to ask for a three-judge court whenever it's a voter apportionment or a lack of representation case, because a single judge cannot be trusted with the people's vote. That requires a panel of judges. A single judge is not qualified, does not have the jurisdiction, and cannot be trusted to deal with the people's vote alone, because it's too much opportunity for corruption. So now we know those two things, okay? So we go in, we give our motion, the judge appoints a three-judge court. Oh, well, you know, the state files an emergency motion to reconsider the three-judge court. But what does the emergency motion, the ex parte motion say? Nothing. There's no new information. There's no new law. The state had already presented its motion to dismiss. There was no additional or new information in the state's emergency motion to reconsider the three-judge court. Nothing. No case law, no nothing. But the minute the state whined, the judge changed her mind. Now, mind you, there is no principle in law, there is no case law, there is no precedent, there is no method or means by which a trial judge can change their mind once a three-judge court's been appointed. There is no mechanism for that. In other words, you're a judge. You make the consideration, you make the ruling, you go on with it. No matter what the parties to the action say, you have ruled. You're the judge. So what does she do? She changes her mind, you know, and then she cancels the hearing, and then she changes the hearing date, and then she doesn't allow the people to have the big courtroom after she says herself, oh, we want the people to show up in court. We want regular people to see the judicial process. And then she hinders the people from being able to do that very thing. And now a year has gone by after date changes, dismissing the complaint, admissions by her in the record that she has no jurisdiction to dismiss the case. So she dismisses the complaint instead with leave to amend. We amend. We amend again. Now we're back in court. She changes the hearing date at the last minute. She refuses to allow us to have the big courtroom again. And finally, we get to another hearing, and we have never heard on our motion demanding the three-judge court. She never ruled on that. She never even held the hearing. She canceled it instead. So we get into this next hearing, and the judge is falling all over herself in what looked to me like utter embarrassment at the fact that she is not going to give the people their day in court at this time. So she's taken this case under submission. She made some pretty glaringly illegal statements during that time. We have the court record. And at this point now, we have choices that we need to make. So we may wait for her ruling. We have to wait for her ruling, because she could rule in our favor. And certainly, if I were her, I'd be so embarrassed I'd rule in our favor, just because it's the overwhelmingly right thing to do. But you never know about these judges. So we have to wait for the ruling. She's taken it under submission. The state's argument is weak, it's lazy, and it hasn't changed a bit. This is a political question, and courts can't solve political questions. And if that's true, why don't we have Prop 28 in California anymore? Because it was certainly a political question when Earl Warren changed the way 30 state legislatures elect state officials. Mm-hmm. And it was also the end of state sovereignty in the United States of America and the beginning of federal dominance over all states and their election processes, what? Something the Ninth and Tenth Amendments prohibit expressly. But we the people didn't say a word. We just let it happen. So now here we are. We'll wait for her judgment, and then we will have a next move. But here's the good news. No matter which way she rules, we have a very solid plan to win this thing. And we can win it. We're going to win it. I want everybody to understand that. Nobody here is weakening. Our resolve hasn't changed a bit. We're going to win this. And every time we go to that courtroom, the judge helps us win it by doing things that are questionable. So, you know, I think our prayers were answered. I left the courtroom overjoyed. because some of the stuff I heard just made me get up and take notice and think, wow, boy, I can't believe that was said in open court, you know.
Yep.
So we've got a great plan, and we're going forward, and we're going to win this. But here's the deal, folks. We need you. We need you. The 100 or 200 of us doing all the work, we need numbers. We need money. This lawsuit's expensive. I mean, we've spent $750,000 fighting the judicial system that the people created to give the people justice. And that Article III court is telling the people of California that they don't even deserve to have their case heard.
Yeah.
They're not important enough to have their case heard. So $750,000 in a year in court, and we are still fighting, but we need help. This is expensive, and we need $2, $5, $10, anything you can give. And here's the other thing we need. If you care about your freedom, if you really want the state of Jefferson, if you really want liberty, you need to start showing up, because we need numbers. If we'd have shown up at that courtroom with 10 or 15,000 people, we'd have walked out with a victory.
Mark,
we've got
Terry Girardi on the line, who's been holding for quite a while, so we need to get to her.
All right.
You there, Terry?
Yes, I am.
Good morning, Terry. How are you, Mother? How are you this morning?
I'm just great.
Did you have your coffee?
Yes. I wanted to touch on a couple of things. I'm glad Mark's on the line, on the show. Going back to the media,
yes. And
what I found strange as well, about 2 days after the press release went out about the hearing on the 14th, I got a response from Fox News in Sacramento wanting to confirm the time and a little more detail about the hearing, and also that we had scheduled a press conference. So it was strange that they, did not show up. And, of course, like you said, Wednesday, I got a call from Action News, Rico Television, wanting to talk to somebody, which Mark eventually did. And it's strange because we've gotten some coverage from the Canada Free Press and also the Washington Times, and I've been in contact with that reporter who wants to now stay in touch with us, and we keep her updated on what's going on. What I kind of came to the conclusion of is that the basic media, the one that shows up at a press conference and does their, 2-minute report or whatever, I don't think they know what to do with this, and particularly with the court case. Because the whole issue and the effort that we're going forward with takes some knowledge, some experience, but more so some time to really understand what we're doing and to report on it. So we get more from, say, someone that is a columnist. Recently I saw the article that Paul Jacob wrote for Town Hall News regarding the Eugene Laverne case on the First Amendment. It was a great report. So when we get those types of people, I think that's where we get the biggest bang for our bucks on really understanding, because it is a more complicated process we're going through. And what I think probably really irritates them, that we're using the process that's allowed under the U.S. Constitution, as well as we're using the judicial system. So anyway, that's kind of my analysis in dealing with this over this last week and knowing the people that I contacted and who I talked to.
That was just absolutely great, Terry.
You're absolutely right, Terry.
You're spot on, and that was so good because that really explains a lot of it, hon. Thank you so much.
Right.
And it goes back to their ignorance right now. They're not willing to take the time to learn it because you're right. It takes time. You can't just have somebody explain it to you in 2 minutes. It doesn't work that way. You have to give them the background. You have to give them the history. You have to basically build the foundation of knowledge for them to grow and develop on. And they haven't done that. And, again, it goes to show that everybody's been dumbed down educationally, so people don't understand the basic concepts of what we're trying to do.
Yeah, reporting on something going to the ballot for a vote is, you know, super easy.
Right, right.
And they can't quite grasp that we're not going in that direction. So that's the other thing. They just assume we have to. And you explain to them, no, we don't, because it doesn't do you any good because you can't split the state through a ballot initiative.
And they're going to have to follow the same process that we are currently already in.
Right, Mark.
Right, right.
Mark, do you have any comments on that? Mark?
Yeah, I think Terry's absolutely spot on. And here's another aspect of it. The people who are who claim to have competing movements, Draper and whatever that other deal is, New California and then CalExit, basically the only information you get out of them is regurgitated
yep.
from what Jefferson began years and years ago.
That's right.
And it's interesting to affirm what Terry said even further is that and these are the things that these other guys leave out of the deal. We've already been down those roads.
Mm-hmm.
We have 21 declarations, soon to record two more with the legislator. We've been through the legislative process. We had our email campaign. We had tens of thousands of phone calls, tens of thousands of emails, thousands of personal visits to the legislature, which is the Article 4, Section 3 process. And we didn't even get one single one of those guys that would return a call to say, what is it you want and why do you want it? I mean, no one was asking for an immediate approval of our plan. We were just asking for a response. In other words, we were asking for some representation. We were asking that the legislators in the people's branch of government respond to the people and say, hey, what the heck's going on here and what's the deal? And we couldn't even get that out of them. So for the legislative process to continue, you have to have adequate representation, which we knew from the beginning we didn't have. We affirmed through that process. And then in addition to that, we appealed to the executive branch. We offered to give the executive branch a pile of papers, some of the declarations to withdraw, the reasons why we were doing it, papers from the case we proposed, so on and so forth. We had an appointment with the executive branch, and they ignored us. They sent someone out who was basically the guard to the door, and he said, we're too busy to talk to the people who formed this government because we're doing important stuff today. And that was literally their explanation.
Mm-hmm.
That was supposed to placate the people of 21 counties, now 23, and here's the explanation they were offering the people of one-third of the state of California. We're doing important stuff today, and we can't talk to you.
And then
that was the only response we got out of the executive.
And then
two branches of government.
And they also
for the people who don't know, there's a third branch, the judicial. So now we're appealing to the judicial. And what our goal is to yank the rug out from under the people in that building they call the Capitol in Sacramento and teach them a lesson. And that is that the people are in charge of this state and not them. And if we can do that sufficiently, our hope is to force a settlement where state split legislation is passed.
All right, Terry, do you have anything else, my dear?
Yes, to tie in also with Mark is about fundraising.
Yes.
And I wanted to let you know that in El Dorado County, we're having our first annual business showcase with about over 50 businesses participating with booths and donating prizes, silent auction. We have a Fat Boy gun safe that's huge that'll be auctioned off, et cetera, et cetera. But in conjunction with this, we have going what we're calling a 501c3 match, which means you can make a tax-deductible donation, and one of our generous sponsors here in El Dorado has offered to match up to $10,000 that will go to the legal fund. So the checks have to be made in any amount over $100 up to the $10,000. And then they can be made prior to the event, which is July 10th, a Tuesday, from 4 to 8 p.m. at the American Legion Hall, 4561 Greenstone Road, Placerville. Or you can mail your checks in. The checks have to be made out to PECAN, P-E-C-A-N, and that's Patriots Educating Concerned America Now. And in the memo portion, you must put in State of Jefferson SOJ Formation Legal Fund. The checks can be mailed to Sharon Durst, D-U-R-S-T, P.O. Box 569, Somerset, California, 95684. So you have July 10th to get the money in so we can potentially have $20,000 to donate to the legal fund.
Hey, Terry, can you give that mailing address one more time, please?
Her name is Sharon Durst, D-U-R-S-T, P.O. Box 569, Somerset, California, 95684.
Okay, is there a location where somebody can go find that so if they didn't get it right now, they can find it?
I put it in the Jefferson Messenger, which is coming out probably sometime today, late today.
And they can access that on SOJ51.org as well and go to the...
And then I believe also our El Dorado County newsletter is now posted on our website. So if when you go under committees and then El Dorado County, you can access the El Dorado County newsletter.
Okay.
And all proceeds from the business showcase will also be going to the legal fund.
Fantastic.
Perfect.
Now, also tonight we have a call.
Yes.
What it would be very important, Terry, that you could give that information on the call tonight. Is that possible? Fantastic.
Sure. And I'll be doing so on our KHI radio show.
Oh, at 10 o'clock.
In the next hour also.
Right. You want to give people how they can hear that program? Can you give them any information?
KHI 950 AM, 104.5 FM. And you can go on your computer for those out of the broadcast range and just click on KHI 950. It'll come up, and it's very easy to show how to listen to it. And our co-hosts this week are Mike Murray and Mark Onifer, both of Placer County.
Fantastic. Now, one last thing, and that is, Wynn, you want to give that number on the
conference call?
Yeah, the conference call tonight.
Sure.
Very important, folks, that you get on this call tonight. Mark, you're going to be on that, aren't you, Kemosabe?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Then we'll be talking about the court case, fundraising, the press, et cetera. Go right ahead, Wynn.
Okay. The phone number is 712-770-4114. And then the access code, when prompted in the menu, is 307-268-#. And that's just to get onto the call to hear the call. But you can also do the chat room live on SOJ51.org. Go to the calendar, events and calendar. And then go on today's date within the calendar, and then click on the meeting and hit the chat room, and then you can sign your name up, and then you'll be in there live with all the rest of us.
Cool. Okay, so with that, guys, we're going to go to our first break here. It's been a while, but busy morning. And, Terry, thanks for calling, love.
Thank you, Terry.
All right, bye-bye.
Time has come.
We're 51.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken, and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
If you're looking into a remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio, there's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite and Things.
Now, this is Carl Bott. Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days while Linda and I went on vacation. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry,
Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, Estate Granite and Things, or visit us at estategranite.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Back at it. So, Mark, any other pearls of wisdom and information that we can share regarding the court case?
Say that again, Wynn.
Any other pearls of wisdom or information we can share regarding the court case?
No, just, you know, my thought about it is just, you know, we really do need numbers. I mean, we can win this thing. And, you know, if you're wondering how all this will go without your participation, there's a new bill in the hopper that's going to regulate tap water, and you're going to have to pay. There's a bill in right now to limit your domestic water use to 55 gallons a day, even though Governor Brown says there's no drought, but we got to prepare for the next one. So you're going to pay, and you're not going to be able to wash a load of clothes and take a shower all in the same day. Because Governor Brown says your life is too easy, and in order to save the planet, your life has to be much more difficult and much more expensive. In fact, Governor Brown told the French people that you have to, or I think this was in Holland, he told the Dutch parliament that you have to be brainwashed to accept climate change. And he also called you lazy because you don't like the new gas tax. And by the way, more coming on that, more money on January 1st. And in addition to that, if you don't like that enough, if that's not enough for you, there's another bill in the hopper that you're going to have to go through a federal firearms dealer to buy any gun part that you used to buy online. And I'm talking about a grip or a trigger spring or a bolt catch spring. You're going to have to do that through a federal firearms dealer with a background check. So, you know, the goal is in California, it is absolute control. Control of your property, control of your water. And remember, folks, it has nothing to do with the water. If you control the water, you control the land. If you control the land, you control the people on the land. This is about power. This is about money. It's about control. And you ain't paying enough to suit the state of California. And if you think it's bad now, wait till Gavin Newsom takes over.
Yeah. Well, with that, we do have a caller on the line. Professor, what say you, sir?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, buddy. Good
morning, Terry.
And Mark, you did very well, as usual, yesterday on Pete Peters' program. And I agree with everything that has been said previously on this one. But you are all talking to everybody that's in favor of State of Jefferson. I'm talking to the hoi polloi that has a vague clue, and it is vague, and they're wondering what's happened, and then if you start to explain, their eyes glaze over. What is needed, from at least my conversations, and I have a lot of them, is something needs to be done. And Mark, you mentioned it yesterday. You said we need to learn how to win, and the other one, acting like we have a state, and we are not acting like we have a state. We've changed. I've changed, and some other people have changed their return address to SJ, State of Jefferson, or I should say SF, State of Jefferson, But people are sick to death of hearing nothing out of courts, and they're sick to death of hearing only words from the swamp in D.C., and they attach the same to us because all they hear is words. So, again, we need to declare a capital, and we need to start acting like a state, whether it is or not on paper. We need to start doing and let the chips fall. And I don't mean, Mark, since you're out front, you're the only one that will take the bullets when the bullets fly. We all need to stand together, but we need to declare the state, and 10,000 people need to act like this is a state that it is. And with 23 counties, seems to me we ought to have enough people to start acting like it is the state. What say you?
Well, I'll say this. I agree with you. And here's how we have to do it. Because no matter what state you're in, state of Jefferson, state of California, no matter what state, here's how government works, or how it's supposed to work in the United States. And that is from the bottom up. So what if we want to start acting like a state, here's what we need to do. We need to start going to city council meetings. We need to start going to county supervisors meetings in numbers and start acting like the free citizens of the free state of Jefferson, and direct our county officials to pass an anti-sanctuary state ordinance, to pass a Second Amendment sanctuary county ordinance, to direct sheriffs to issue open carry permits, to start acting like a state. We need to start at the lowest levels, because that's where government begins. And as Thomas Paine said, government works best where it's closest to the people. And that's in our community. So what we need to do, and when I say learn to win, we need to start showing up and asking for stuff that we want and that we will see in the state of Jefferson. And we need to start that process by directing local officials how we want them to behave, because we are the people and they work for us. We need to stop these illegal agreements by the state of California. We need to do that at the lowest level and then have that percolate up to the highest level. And if we can win in our backyard, if we can win in our towns and win in our counties, and if enough people want this badly enough to actually show up and do something, then we can start that reverse engineering from the bottom up and engineer the 23 counties of the state of Jefferson to look like the state of Jefferson and act like the state of Jefferson, regardless of what state government wants or does. Because it is empty to say we're going to act like a state. So does that mean that 18 people are going to stop paying their property taxes to California? That's not going to do it. Does that mean that 20 or 30 people are going to get arrested for open carry of a loaded weapon? Because that's not going to do it. All that does is puts people in jeopardy for no particular reason. But what we can do is we can attack this legally, morally, and ethically, and we can do it from the bottom up by telling our elected representatives at the city and county level how we demand that they behave and make that stick. And we can do that in 23 counties. And by the time California realizes what's going on, they'll be alone in the room, because we'll already be acting like a free state. Now, in order to fix the tax situation, the debt situation, legislature out of control with no representation, we need the state of Jefferson to do that. But there is nothing stopping us from acting like the free individuals with God-given liberties right now. There's nothing stopping us right now except public participation.
Mark, we have Judy on the line. Judy, you've got about 2 minutes. That's it.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Judy.
Judy Mathet.
You're right. You've got 2 minutes.
I can take this off the air, but I'm listening to what Mark had said, and in the last week we've probably spoken to several thousand people in two events with our booth. The problem that we're having is that a lot of people saying, well, it's never going to happen, or the ones that are aware are saying, well, you know, that's just something.
Now, Judy, you want to confirm from the people you're from Oregon?
What we need to provide a visual statement. Like Mark said, people, and the professor just said, they cloud over. They don't want to hear a whole bunch of history. They want to see something. And your graphic for California that we copied for Oregon that I sent Mark a copy of was very, very – it's immediately impressive even to young children and young people. So I would be happy to speak to you about design, getting some type of a timeline design so that we could present this to people up in Oregon and California, wherever. But that was my suggestion, that our instantaneous push the button, I want self-gratification and knowledge right now. The only way they're going to look is through something visual, not audio.
Good point, and good points. Judy, by the way, Judy's from Klamath. She leads the charge up there, her and Bob Chard and Jerry and a bunch of you folks in Oregon. Judy, thanks for all you do, kiddo.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for you guys, too.
Okay. Oh,
and also, too, one thing that Gary was saying earlier a moment ago when he said we should have our capital. Well, we can't really do that yet. That part of it we can't do because we're going to put that up to a vote for all the sovereign citizens of Jefferson. So that's just one thing. We don't want to put that cart before the horse or horse before the cart. Yeah, the horse before the cart, cart before the horse, what have you. We just don't want to stumble on something like that where we could lose some credibility. We've got to be careful on what things we put out there and do it in a timely fashion and organized fashion so that we don't cause ourselves more harm and just don't want to be self-inflicted on that. So
yeah. Well, the other aspect of that win, in my opinion, is that we could declare a capital, but it wouldn't be real. And
right.
If we wanted to, say, start a capital where we rent a gas station or whatever it is to house our temporary capital, that costs money.
Yes.
And what we're doing right now is we're the only one of these groups that has a real program to fix this with achievable steps that people are responsible for. And right now our money's in court.
That's right.
And we have to win that case. So every cent we get has to go toward that case. And we don't have money to rent Capitol buildings because contrary to popular belief, there is no political party that will help us. There is no corporate sponsor, corporate donor. There's no big rich people behind this. This is the people.
Grassroots.
$2, $10, $50, yep. $100 at a time. We're trying to defeat the government of California in their own playground.
Really?
We're trying to beat them with their own at their own game with their own rules.
That's
and
right.
That costs a lot of money.
Right.
And that's what we've got to concentrate our money on.
Billy Bob, you've got about 1 minute, buddy.
Okay. Great. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, listen, great show as usual. I got my radio going. I'm sorry. I only wanted to mention that this movement for Jefferson is absolutely incredible, and we ought to admire all the people that have worked so hard. And that's all my statement is that these people that have worked so hard. So anyway, thank you.
Thanks, Billy Bob.
Thanks, Bob. More than that, I'd like to have people come lock arms with us and help us out.
That would be the main thing. We need people. We need people to show up. I mean, it's great. We get thanked a lot, and I don't mean to sound ungrateful.
We are grateful.
We are very, very grateful.
Yeah.
However, we need bodies. We need people to do something, number one. Number two, I wanted to bring up something about the fact that this phone call tonight is going to have a lot of really good information. Folks, we're going to give you that number one more time. Shoot away, Wynn.
Okay, it's 712-770-4114, and the access code, when you're prompted in the menu, is 307-268-POUND. And you can listen on that, and then you can also go to soj51.org and go into the calendar events and calendar, and on today's date, click on today's date for the conference call, and then click on the chat. It'll say chat room there. Click on that. And that'll take you into the chat room. You can get signed up there, and you can read what's going on within the chat room and have your questions asked through that forum as well.
Kemosabe, we got 1 minute, my friend.
The time has come for 51, but I'll tell you what, folks, if you want this, you better start showing up because we can't do it alone. We need numbers. We're at the point where we need money and we need numbers. And I know I sound like a broken record, but that's just the truth. If you don't show up and if you don't help us with the money, I don't know, you know, we're going to keep fighting and we might be able to pull it off without you, but it is significantly more difficult. The time has come for 51. And if you want to be a citizen of the first free state in 150 years, you need to start showing up and you need to help us win this deal. Contribute, soj51.org, click on donate, $2, $10, $50, whatever you can afford. But please start showing up and start contributing if you want to win.
You bet. Amen. Get on the call tonight, folks.
See you there.
Time has come.
For 51.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.